night we were discussing the different reasons of the Rishonim for the Chumrah of Damasulim. In our Torah, Damasulim should be totally mutter. It's a classic makwa. It shouldn't pose any problem. And yet Chazal turned around and said, Damasulim is such a problem that bald bills mitzvah parish. As soon as a couple has one time bia, that's the bleed. So we automatically declare she's a nidal bia midir abanan. I really didn't know why we're not entitled to the regular clue of Dam Makwa. We saw last week different suggestions that we gave the Rashba. Each one was difficult for us to understand. Finally, we get to the Shita Zarash. It's on page 18 on the 5th of the Ramah Kamos. It's a long rush. We have to read the whole thing, which we try to isolate the lines that we want. On page 18, the 5th of the Ramah Kamos, it's about 10 lines or so down. The first one line is Liros. So venirali in the middle of the line, venirali di tav lechum mezu. Lo bishlo shenocho shem yeitze dam in hamokor im dam besulim. He says that, why should we be choshesh that there's dam min hamokor? Why should we be choshesh that there's really bleeding? The lam in nochosh p'tinokesh shelo yigiz ba'aliros. They said that, if the rule, at the end of the day, Chazal prohibited dam besulim, even for a little girl, who's never got a period. She's 8 years old, she got married, and all of a sudden for this girl, we're going to say, oh, by the way, maybe there's a concern that there's damdidus here. It's very unlikely. Even for an older woman, why should we be concerned? If you have a woman who already, we know that she's been bleeding because of tashmish, so we never heard of such a thing. If you're going to tell me that every time there's a makah, we're automatically concerned that there's uterine bleeding at the end of the makah, then what's the case of the makah? So every case of the makah, we should turn around and say that there's always a concern. Shem yetzer da makah with damakah. So, v'eluch makah gedol mizush nevelov yotzer dam besulim. Says the Rosh, there's no greater makah than dam besulim. Ala tam chum rezu, says the Rosh, the reason for this chumra, mishum de be'ilas mitzvah lakol masura. Because bias mitzvah is something that everyone has to deal with. Every person is going to get married. Every person at one time is going to have shals of bia rishona. The ain't that called bekiyin bechiluk sheish ben tinoka shlo giasmana leros uven giasmana uven bugeres uven rasa vela rasa. It says the Rosh that there are a lot of details in the Mishnah that we spoke about last week. That if the girl was never had a period, she's 8 years old, so then we give her a long time. If she's bleeding, we assume it's by all damasulim. If she's a Nara who didn't have a period, we're a little more concerned. If she's a Nara who had a period, we're more concerned. If she's a Bulgaris, we're more concerned. Depending on where she's up to in life, we're going to be more and more concerned. So if you're going to give this clue to people and tell everybody, forget about Dam, so everything's okay. So you're basically giving a green light to every single person, and most people aren't smart enough to be able to, or knowledgeable enough to be able to discern the differences. But oh, says the Rosh, there's another reason why Chazal almost had it in for Dam Besulim. The first time, they just got married. So there's a tremendous Yetzihara. Because of these two concerns together. Number one, it's Lakol Basura. And number two, that Yitzro Tokfo. Therefore, Chazal said, we're going to give every single girl the biggest Chumra available. What does that mean? That a Bulgarish Rasa, the case of a Bulgarish who already saw the past, the nosula bilas mitzvah perish, nosula osa bia shabal kedaka vrobia. So, the ain't so chlifa kirach of a shabash of torpirs and bia tachta. It means what we call bol bilas mitzvah perish means we let you have bia and we let you finish the bia. We don't tell you there's a problem until later. But afterwards, then we say there is a concern. So, when all the dust settles, says the Rosh, that because of the two factors, psychologically, that is Mesula Kol, everybody has to deal with the Shaila. And the fact that there's a unique aspect of Yitzhak Toko for the Chosin, above and beyond regular. So therefore, Chazal were very, very machmer in Dam Besulim. But there seems to be almost a point that's missing from the Rosh. The Rosh is explaining to you why we're more machmer in Dam Besulim than we are in Dam Macha. But he doesn't really explain what's the concern. What could go wrong? So I understand you want to tell me that. Now, we don't want to make any distinctions. There's a little plug. We have reasons to make a little plug. That I understand. But the Rosh didn't really explain what was the original problem. What is the problem? So let's say, the worst case scenario, all chasanim are going to be nikshal and damasul. So, in the end, so what? So therefore what? If it's damakha, it's damakha. So it's almost like a line missing from the Rosh. So other Rishonim add on to what other Rishonim who preceded the Rosh were saying this according to the same line of reasoning as the Rosh, that that which the Rosh almost ignored before is coming back to life. The Rosh said, why should we be worried that there's Dam Makor together with the Dam Makor? So the answer is that we are a little bit concerned. We're a little bit more worried with that than we are the normal circumstances. And why is that? There is a possibility that because, I'm not sure from the biological point right now, from our understanding of medicine, but somebody who said it right, that we're afraid, but Shema Mitoch, the pain of the Dam Akva, the brain of the Mesulim, maybe that triggered a little bit of Rias Dam. But not just damach, maybe that triggered a little bit of dam ri'ah. Or maybe because of the chimur, because of the excitement, aroused the woman, maybe that causes a little bit of dam chimur, a little bit of dam and amokor as well. Now again, are those things that we would normally be worried about? Are those things that we would normally be concerned with? Probably not. But because we're so weary about this case to start with, because that was always a komosim, and because it's a tofo, so we want to give a little bit extra safeguard. We want to be more careful about this than we would be about other cases. And therefore, Chazal went the extra mile in Dam Basulim. And the bottom line is, Nimnu Begobul, Dam Basulim is a problem. So it's almost like a combination of a few different factors. There's the biological factors, there are other things going on here that may be triggering Dam Nidus. And even though it's most probably not really happening, but Afa Pichain, Midirabon, because of Kal Moser, and because of Yitzhotofo, because of all that, so Chazal wanted Asa, had it in for Dam Basulim. So, whether that's exactly the Rosh says, that's clearly what other Rishonim are saying, that seems to be the reason, with all the dust settles, why we have Dam Basulim, why we have this Chumra, Midirabon of Dam Basulim. So, regardless of whether you think the Lomdus is like the Rosh, or you thought it's like the Rosh, or you thought it's like the Rabban, at the end of the day, the Gemara does say, Hilchasa, Nimnu Vagamru, Ebolbez, Mitzu Parish. That's the halacha nice Adayim is there. And once a couple, when they have the Yavishona, so then she's treated as a Nida at that point, and they have to be Parish, in effect, pretty much like regular Hilchas. But now the question becomes almost a nitty gritty kind of question, an important detailed kind of question. What exactly does that phrase mean? Boel, Bilas, Mitzu, Parish. What do the words mean? That's the halacha that's now governing us with Manazeh. What exactly do those words mean? So what would that halacha be in the following case? Let's say a couple goes there, they have Yerishona, and believe it or not, there's no dam. There's not much nothing. Regular, full bia, and there's no dam whatsoever. So the Raivit is quoted by the Rishonim is saying, if there's no dam, what could possibly be wrong? I mean, we have so many chumras to say, to ignore that it's damacha, and mechayshish that it's damnis. We're closing our eyes to the more probable scenario that it's not a problem altogether. With the rabbanim, for the multiple reasons we're going to answer it. It says the Ravid, there's no blood. What are you going to answer? What could possibly be wrong? So notwithstanding the seemingly sound logic of the Ravid, most of the Rishonim disagree with the Ravid. Most of the Rishonim say no. And if you look at the Loshna Gemara, the Gemara says, V'hilchasa boel v'las mitzvah uborish. The Gemara doesn't say Hilchasa Boel Umatzadam Uparish. The Gemara says Boel Uparish. It sounds like it's almost like across the board. Even though there was no Dam, we still have to declare the Issa Rabban of Dam Basulim. The question is, where did that come from? What's the basis of that Chumrah? So if we take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in the 6th of the Mem Kamos.
What page?
18. So the Shulchan Aruch in the 6th Imam Makamos, Simon Kuf Tzadi Gimel Sim Aleph, Hakadis is Abbasula, Boel Bilas Mitzvah, Vigomer Biyaso, Uparish Miyad, Afilu Kitana Shloi Giazman, Liros Lo Rasa, even the best case scenario that she's under 12 and she's never seen before. The odds that she had a period right then and there are almost impossible. Doesn't matter. Afilu Batka V'lo Matzadam, says the Shulchan Aruch, quoting most of the Rishonim against the Ravid. Even if she immediately checked herself and found there was no blood, to man, she's still asura. Shema rasa tipras dam kichardo v'chifeu shechvazera. That we're afraid that there may have been blood there. Maybe it was a very minuscule amount, and maybe it was covered over by zera, and therefore bulbous little parish.
You wouldn't be concerned about every single
right, right, so again, why normally you never have to worry about this, but by Dam Basulim, the odds are there probably was some Dam, even though we know that it was Dam Maka, and heart of us, we know it was Dam Maka, but that's the whole of the Rabbanan, to basically do away with the Kul of Dam Maka. So Shulchan Aruch throws a curveball at us. He says that it's also with the Rabbanan, even without having a literal visible Riyaz Dam. So even though the Shulchan Aruch sounds like he's a big, big Machmer, in the same breath, he's a big, big Mekel. Because the Shulchan Aruch said that the only reason why we're so concerned is because Shem Chifel Shech Vezer, maybe the blood was there, but we have some plausible reason why it's not showing up. Because it was coming with Shech Vezer, which would lead us to believe that one of the couple of years showed up and there was no Tzah Zera, which is especially at the beginning of the marriage, figure out what's going on. It's a very common scenario. They don't have a full-fledged Bia. So according to the simple reason, Shulchan Aruch would be okay, because it's not like a little asshole just for no reason whatsoever. It's a far-fetched chashash, but it still has to make a little bit of sense. So we can only ask this woman if we can explain away where the supposed Dam is. If there's no rational explanation where the Dam is, so then just to say there was Dam and we missed it, we lost it, that's already too far-fetched, even for the Shulchan Aruch. So notwithstanding the implication of this kula of the Shulchan Aruch, most of the later Pesukim don't even say this. Most of the later Pesukim, both other Rishonim, will say that afilu la rasa, afilu botkav la motza dam tmeya. Not because shema rasa people don't bechado, because shema rasa the not chipir shech vezer, but shema rasa the nevda it got lost. I didn't see it got wiped away. Kashet maisa. If we're ready to throw chumras at you and uchaz dam besulim, so this is just the next step. So you see, there's almost like the Chazal had it. This is going to be awesome. No matter what's going to happen, this is going to be awesome. That Muslim is going to be awesome no matter what. So that's most Rabbanim today. I mean, most Rabbanim today follow that the second view, the Chayyadim and others, who say that we should be concerned with the Chumrah with the Rabbanim is such a low flow that applies literally across the board, even if there's no Dam, even if there's no Shech Vezer, if there's nothing. Shema, 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 there was a little bit of Dam that was lost. But even though we have the first year of Shech Vezer, a lot of Chumras, now we saw a little bit of some Kulas. So comes the Ramah and says, not so simple. Comes to the Ramah and says that ago, v'yesh makili milaros adam. So there are some who say, which is the Osmanim, the Raivin, there are some Rishonim who say that if there was no Riyaz Dam, then it's okay. Now, we're not going to be making right out like that, but the Ramah says what we will be making on is as follows. V'nogu l'hokel im lo gomer bia, rak heraba v'lo ros adam. V'alim bo'ale v'yamamish cha'a, so the Ramah quotes almost a compromise from other Rishonim that do we have to say that every time there was a halachic bia there's an automatic concern of Dam even though we don't see it and therefore she's a surah? No. Says Ramah depends. It's almost a physical question. It depends on how much of a bia was there. So the Gemara's Masechet Yevamos tell us that halachically there are really two different stages of bia. This was called Hara, then this was called Gemar Bia. So Hara means just a little bit of penetration. So technically for all other halachic areas, that's considered to be a ma'aseh bia. So the couple, the iser, a person violates an iser of kareis, or iser of lav, or some other kind of bia sasuros, even if he doesn't have a complete ma'aseh bia, that's considered to be a bia. Marla learns that from Sukh, it's called hara, the Torah speaks about hara as well. But in this area of halacha, hara is not like mar bia, because this is not halacha, this is mitzias. I mean, quote unquote mitzias. Says the Ramah, when it comes to this concern that we're so worried that lest there was Dam Basulim was broken, says the Ramah, that makes sense if the couple had a Gemar Bia. If there was a full penetration, then we have to be very, very weary. We can't find the blood. Well, Shema, Meshema was there. But if the couple only had a little bit of Bia, a little Tamash, a little something, and there was no bleeding anyway, and we're going to turn around and say, aha, there must have been Dam, says the Ramah, very unlikely. Because if there wasn't a full penetration, then the odds are they probably never even broke the basulim. So they never even reached the point of having a real physical, biological concern of the basulim. So that's the pshar, that's the compromise that the Ramah had, that the first kula that we saw in the sugya. So the sugya started out with Mishnayis and Maseches Nida, and talked about certain chumras, the Rabbanan, that when a girl gets married, so we better be together with the husband the first few times, even though she's bleeding. When you reach a certain point, then we have to be concerned. So those distinctions disappear. Gemara concluded that we don't follow those anymore. We pass that even the first time we're concerned, And some Rishonim said, but only concerned that there's actually bleeding, that far we don't go. And some Rishonim said, but only concerned that there's Shechel Zerah, so that far we don't go. But this school we do accept. This is the practice today, to follow the Ramah, that if there was Gemarbi, if there was full penetration, then we're concerned. If there was partial penetration, just Hara, so then we're going to be Makel, provided that they didn't visibly, they didn't actually see any doubt. The question becomes a very technical question, and this is usually the source of the conversation on the morning after a chasidim, between the chasidim, the kallah, and the rav, as to, well, what was there exactly? Was there gemarbi? Was there hara? How exactly do you find that properly? So if there was dam, it's a moot discussion, but more often than not, there's no dam. And more often than not, there's no dam, because it wasn't a full bia anyway. So now the question becomes, well, did they reach the point of the Ramah of Gemarbiya, or did they reach just the mere point of Hara that would give us a right to be lenient? So there are different opinions in the post-kim today. Where exactly did you draw the line? What's considered to be Hara for these purposes? So there is a psach of a post-kim, a post-kim from Bnei Brak, especially in Hilchos Nida, a famous saint for Shir Shem and Alevi, psach in Hilchos Nida. So the post was concerned that once there's what we call a rove, it's like Ruv Kekulov. Once rove of the aim of the man has been inserted, it's a 50% penetration, so he was already concerned, maybe that's a chashash of a gemar bia. Another post will make a leave it on that. Unless the husband and wife felt that there was a real full penetration, we could still hide behind hara and say there's no dam, there's no concern. What makes the kshayla, that distinction, almost an irrelevant distinction, is that you're dealing, Baruch Hashem, with a young couple who doesn't know anything about the topic. It's the first time they've ever been together. They're not sure. The Rav will ask them, do you feel there was a Gemar Bia? They don't have the kelim to understand what the terminology means. Baruch Hashem for that. So the question is, what do you do with these kinds of shaylos? Again, this Maisim B'chol Yom, the couple learned Tuchas Nida, so they have in their mind, well, it's Dam B'sulim, we're going to be bold with Mitzvah. And they learned this, they taught this Ramah, that it was just a little bit, so there's no blood, then it's okay, you continue to keep on trying. But they're not quite sure, they do a little, they do a lot, etc. So when these shaylos come our way, so many rabbanim have the following psach, that let's not, yeah, put everything into perspective. This is all with the rabbanim. The Minat Torah, none of this is a problem, because Minat Torah is all just plain old Dambachman, and forget about it. And it's a chumrah, gabi chumrah, and you think about it, it's such a chumrah, gabi chumrah, that according to some Rishonim, that the whole chumrah was only if there's dam. If there's no dam, then even it's only mutter, arrive at it, so we don't really follow that. Then you have the Shulchan Aruch who said that the only reason why it's a problem is chifer shech vazer. Very, very often when you have these shaylas, when there was a partial bia, there was no tzatzar anyway. So it was just they tried a little bit, and they pulled back, and it hurt a little bit, and they're not sure what they were doing. So these kinds of shaylas very often end up with there's no dam, and quite possibly there's no shech vazer, and we're not even sure there was bia, gemar bia, and we don't know, was the shia, other shia, we're not sure what happened. At the end of the day, we can very often throw our hands up and say, is it all sfeikas derabanan? We have a klal, sfeikas derabanan kula. Dam b'sulim, the worst case scenario of dam b'sulim is not a derabanan anyway. So sfeikas derabanan kula and shine, and therefore we can permit the couple to remain together. So this is, again, a fairly common shayla. And usually this is the hadracha that at least many rabbanim give them, is that until they reach the point of one of two things, either is mamash dam, is real bleeding, and Hashem should go to Psulim and fine. Or if there's no real bleeding, but they really feel that there was a complete, actual mamash penetration of Bia, so then we have to implement the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah that there would be a concern. But any time we're not quite sure what we're up to in terms of these things, so then we can just hide behind something to Rabban Lakula and let them continue to be together. There are several other important shahs that come up in this realm relating to Dam Psulim. So in the bottom of page 18, it starts here as CD number 13. It's the same sugi, just in the breakdown of the CDs. We ran out of time in the Shia, so it became a new CD. But it's pretty much the same sugi. So Rav Moshe discusses the following shaila. The first of the Mamakamos, Biltsiwa, Basulim, I date instrument, in Tzrich Elesha Shivanaki. Rav Moshe, classic, whenever he had any English word, he never gave the modern Hebrew word for it. He just spelled it out like in Yiddish and Shia. So what would the din be if Basulim are removed through an instrument, through a medical procedure? So the question is that considered to be part of this chumrah or not? So we're not advocating doing this. There are some people who like to do this, who like to have their basulim removed before they get married, so they don't want to get involved in any of the shaylas. This is not something that we think is a good idea. A woman's supposed to get married, if all's well, she's supposed to get married as a basula. Again, you know, are we so machmev as bad as they have 200 zuz with the ksuba, you know, those kinds of things. You know, that's not what interests us so much as bad as that. But the right thing to do is that the woman should get married as a basula. She's not. Medically, a girl had a surgery years ago, and she had a basula removed for medical. Okay, we don't look bad at that. But for lechatchila to go break the basula because she doesn't want to be bothered with that basula, so the post came today and do not approve of that practice. You know, there are doctors who do that for you. Not do anything for you, but there are people who do that. But it's not something that has lefianis diet. It's not something that has the consent of the rabbanim. But sometimes what does happen is that sometimes a woman has certain issues that it may be medically advised to remove the basula, and she may not realize that until after she gets married. Sometimes you have a situation where the girl get married, and then the trying to be up, and there are some issues that are coming up. If you go to the doctor, and the doctor will say that there are some little bit of complications there, and they may be caused by the basula themselves. So it may be medically advised at that point to remove the basula. So, okay, no, that's the case, that's fine. So if we're removing the basula at that point, what does that make her into an ida? So on the one hand, it's damaka. On the other hand, well, we know every dam basulim is dam makba. So the question really becomes, when the chachamim aser dam basulim, did they aser it only derech bia, only when it's being done in the normal fashion? That was the gezeirah d'rabban. Chazal weren't envisioning of a girl going to a doctor 3 weeks after she gets married to get the basulim removed with an instrument. So was that included in the gezeirah as well? So that was the tshuva Ramosha. So Ramosha writes in the bottom of page 18, Nishalti me'echad she'kashe lohoi efshelo livo b'yirishona, that they weren't able to have b'yirishona properly, mishtzad she'apesach ha'yasosu b'yoser, that the area was closed up more than normal, v'hutzucha l'rofe she'yiftach ha'zapesach b'instrument l'hotzi adam b'sulim, v'im lo yivo b'osa yom, amra rofe she'yesh l'chush she'yitabik odapam. So again, this part of the medical part I don't know, but according to what was presented to Ramosha, was that the doctor said that they should have, medically, they should have bia right away at that point. He said that would help the situation. I don't know. But in the age of the day, does she have to count shivnikim and go to the mikvah, etc.? So Ramosha says that the shafti, shemuteras labailas, so Ramosha's response to the 19, that she was okay. He says that the starting point of the whole sukkah of dam basulim, that's dam makka. I mean, a third dam makka. The rock, the mashiyotzoi, they be a asucha chomim. The loy adeh, across eight. That we don't find the chadal made a gezerah. That they never asked it under all circumstances. They only asked it in the case where they asked it. And the Rush goes through the different reasons that they were shown for it. But if you take a look at the very last line of the tshuva, Ramesh writes, "Lochem einu ala mashem atzidus asu chachamim." In such a chudish tikka gezeiros, dam besulim, we don't have to make up new gezeiros in Tosha Nayin Zayin. Rakish yatzo besul my debia. The gezeiros was only a debia, and that's all there is. Nothing more, nothing less. Notwithstanding Ramesh, in fact, everyone agreed to Ramesh. Those who say no, the gezeiros rabbanu was that dam besulim is no longer subject to the kulos of dam makha. So I don't care how it came out, and if Kamina when it came out via their instruments, so there were those who disagreed with Ramosha. But again, this is only a Durabana anyway. The whole Dam Sulb is not really a Chumah B'Yalma. It's a big Chumah mit Durabana. So I think in America for sure, I think we have a right to be Mekel. Ramosha was the Mayor of America. I think we have a right to be Mekel. So I can't tell you what Pesach. I know there were some Eretz Yisrael poskim who didn't accept this school of Ramosha, but for us, we generally are sorry that I have pretty much to be making like this tshuva much. Not the chutzlof chumras within this chumah derabbanan of dam basula. Sometimes you have another angle of dam basula that's also related medically. What if you have a situation where the girl knows that she doesn't have basula and she's getting married for the first time, but she knows for a fact that she doesn't have basula? How does she know she doesn't have basula? She had a procedure done 5 years ago, and the doctor had her remove it for some medical concern. So now she's getting married for the first time, so she says straight forward, I'm not going to see any dam, I know I'm not going to see any dam. So do we have to say no? Hilchus above bilos mitzvah parish, that the chumrah the rabban applies to you, that you have to be parish from your husband. Oh, bilos mitzvah parish. So some poskim said yes, there was a low plume. Any time a girl gets married for the first time, boil bilos mitzvah parish. Other poskim said, there was no chumrah the rabban, there was no low plume, boil bilos mitzvah parish. What if a woman's getting married for the second time? She was married already for 20 years, now she's getting married for the second time. So would anybody say, bold with mitzvah parish? That's ridiculous. She's not a basula. So that's what Ramosha said. Ramosha said that if we know that she's not a basula, what's the difference whether we know she's not a basula because she had beer with another husband, or whether she's not a basula because the doctor removed the basula years ago? So says Rav Moshe, if we know for a fact she's not a basula, so then that's not. The chumra was on Dam Basulim, that maybe there was Dam Basulim. We know for a fact there's no Dam Basulim, so there's no Dam Basulim. So Moshe said you just have to be careful that you have the facts straight, like any other Shalom, make sure you have the Metzias right. You have to make sure that the Basulim really aren't there. Sometimes, and again, this is beyond my, I don't know the medical part precisely, but sometimes, as has been explained to me, that sometimes it can be, quote unquote, the Basulim are removed, but it doesn't mean that. Literally, it doesn't mean that they're totally opened up. It doesn't mean that there's no concern of them. There may still be an outside chance of bleeding at that point. So if the doctor will tell you that, this woman had procedure X, Y, and Z 5 years ago, I'm telling you that she's like she's been married for 20 years. There's nothing there. There's nothing going to bleed. There's absolutely zero to talk about. If that's the fact, so then we can rely on Rav Moshe's kula. If those facts are not so clear, that maybe there is a concern, then we would have to implement them. So sometimes we have them. Some people get a little bit confused in this area, and the girl will say, I don't have an Basulim anymore. This whole Siman Shukla doesn't apply to me. I don't have a Basulim anymore. What makes you believe they don't have a Basulim anymore? She thinks. One time, she remembers, she was horseback riding, she was skiing, she was something, she was exercising, and she thinks that she broke a Basulim at some point, which sometimes does happen. Was it ever documented? Was it ever examined medically to know whether that's true or not? So that's not enough. That just she has a concern that maybe she's right, maybe she's wrong, but that's not enough for this din not to apply. So for this din of Damas will not to apply, either she was literally married before, or even if she wasn't married, she knows for a fact that she was wasn't so from, and she was had beer before, that she's not a basul. Okay, then the din of Damas doesn't apply. And or if it was literally documented 100%, no concern with basul whatsoever, so then we could also have a right to be made.
In a case where it was medical or something like that, that was checked out, does the ksuva...
No, the ksuva, the chassan usually knows about it anyway.
Right.
So as long as the chassan knows about it, so he's makabel to benefit of those anyway. So we look the other way for this. It should be noted there are many women that don't get married, perfectly and totally from, don't have dam basul. The reason why they don't have dam basul is for some of those reasons that we mentioned. And somewhere along the line, the basul were opened up. Someone either she knows about it, she may not know about it. Again, I don't know enough about this. They say horseback riding does it. Some stretching gymnastics. There are things that can sometimes do it that can open up the basul, and the girl may not have even known about it. She may have been having her period at that time when she was bleeding anyway, so she wasn't even cognizant to the point that she may have somewhere along the way inadvertently opened up the basul. So therefore, if a couple gets married and the girl is from and she doesn't have a basul, she shouldn't get nervous. The husband shouldn't get, he thinks the basul is coming to life. He shouldn't be worried that maybe she was who knows what. So relax. Many very, very fine girls don't have official dam basulim as bad as that. And it very often doesn't play out in terms of that. But unless we know that, so we have to apply the din of Bolbus Mitzvah Parish. There is one last important part of dam basulim that's raised by Rabbi Vadi Yosef in the second of the Maamar Kofetz on page 19. So the Bia Rishona, they did, and they had Damasul and Shoin. But with Bia Shnia La Rosa Dam. And then the second time around, she doesn't see any Dam. If she would have seen Dam the second time around, we would have had an Asar of Damasul. Again, Damasul, the Rosh Hashulchan writes explicitly, is repetitive. It means if she has, every time she has Bia for the next few times, so we assume it's just residue of Damasul, but it's still a problem. Even though she's going to go to the doctor will say, it's still Dam Basulim. It's only a Makba, we'll say, thank you very much. It's a Makba that we know is also in the Rabbanim. But here is a little bit strange. Here, she had Dam Basulim, and then the second time around, she didn't see any Bia, but as soon as any Dam, the Chakach Nim to Kesem al Asadin. But then afterwards, she sees a little bit of blood, that's a Kesem, and Eimuch Gris Va'od. But it doesn't have the Shia to be a problem, the Tahorah. So she's considered to be Muteris. What is that based on? So Ravaj, this is a shortened version, Ravaj explains that the chumah of the Rabban of Dam Basulim was as follows. The first time around, it doesn't matter. You can't invoke any kulz of ksumim, because even if there's no dam, she's a surah. So that's, to talk about kulz of ksumim is ludicrous. But the second time, the third time, if it's ongoing, it's a recurring problem, so then Ravaj writes, the recurring problem was that we're going to treat it like hilchas nidah. If it's like a chusnida, it's not subject to the chumra of the law plug of the mitzvah poresh, but it is subject to the regular rules of nida, and you can't hide behind the kul of dabaka. But what can you hide behind? Well, it's a kesem less than a gris. if it's a kasem on color, if it's a kasem on enem kabotuma, all the regular kulos back from the beginning of the chusnik, the chusksavim, will apply to what we call dabasulim second time around. So first time around, the kulos are absurd because it was a gzera low-flowed across the board. But second and subsequent times, then we do a right to make. This is a very, very common shayla. The couple has bi'erishona, and they have bleeding. Judge Nasura wastes X amount of days, she counts her nekiyim, goes to the mikveh and shay. Then they try second time around, and if the bi'er is over, all of a sudden she goes to the bathroom, and she wipes and finds a little bit of blood on the tissue. So what do you do at that point? So that's really a kesem. On the other hand, but it's not basulim. You're right, it's damvasulim, so we won't rely on damafa, but we will rely on the kulos of ksum, since it's just a little bit of a small spot on a tissue, so we have a right to be makel on that. Or she finds it on a colored towel or something, she finds it on less than a gris. Any regular kulos of ksum, we do have a right to rely on second time around. If there's a lot of blood, it's not a kesem anymore, that's a problem. Or if there's blood on him, eber, that's going to throw them off. Because Dam and his Avers, we learned earlier, that's always a chashash. Chashash is not gosher, those are real ears, and we're not going to have a right to be making kulos ksum. But anytime we have a right to be making kulos ksumim, we will do so. That's why we will strongly recommend, when the couple's out there the seventh time already, so they should have something colored underneath them. It shouldn't be a white sheet, shouldn't be anything white, it could potentially be makabel ksumim. We'll recommend that it be on a colored towel or something. I learned the lesson hard way, I think I referred to this story before. A little less the hard way, there was a couple that were having Bishni already, or Shlishni, whatever number it was, in terms of the Muslim issues, and they'd been instructed to use a cup of towel, but there was a little bit of blood that actually went through the towel, ended up on the white mattress cover, and the white mattress cover was white. And the white mattress cover was subject to some. We looked at some. I mentioned this. That I was. Maybe I thought it was okay because it was polyester. Turned out there were cotton threads in it. And it was a problem. So that was the shadow. It was because of this bit of Rav Avadia Yosef that if it would have been something in a makabel ksum, it would have been okay. But it was makabel ksum. So when Hassanim asked me this question beforehand, so I said to them, make sure that there's something colored underneath you, and make sure there's nothing white underneath that. Make sure there's nothing around that's going to potentially run into a problem of ksum. Again, none of these schools are going to help for the first time around. So the first time is bulbous mitzvah parish, it's a low plug at the end of the discussion. So this din of the conclusion of the Gemara, bulbous mitzvah parish, it's a big, big, big chumrah, but it's a chumrah that Chazal and the Gemara made. Why they made it, we saw different opinions in the Rishonim. The parameters of how far the Gemara was made, all the details we spoke about today, and how far this could go, and some of the modern day applications in terms of medically, we try to get a little bit of a better understanding of this bit of Davos and Hope Mitzvah. The next year, so we'll continue with the next part of the Sugya, which is, it's not Davos and proper, but it's the logical continuation of the Sugya of Davos. The next year, the question is, when is the next year going to be? That's the more complicated question. So next Sunday, I'll be there next Sunday. That won't be.